Can Star Cruiser be more affordable? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after, from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And we're trying to figure out, can we make Galactic Star Cruiser more affordable?
I think this is something that everybody wants. In a sense, right? We kind of put the questions out our last episode of, you know, think improvements that can be made. Right. And there was a smaller group of people or a smaller number of people that said lower prices. I think that's the biggest one, biggest complaint that we could all have. And it's, you know, episode done, make it cheaper. Right. But now let's look at other angles, other options, kind of think outside that box.
Okay.
And I think that's where we have seen just the different ideas around that.
Right. So when you look at Disney World as a whole, outside of Star Cruiser, there are different price points available for different budgets. So take a look at resorts. You've got your value resorts, your moderates, and your deluxe resorts. So everywhere has a bed for you to sleep in for the night, but it's a different price point, different amenities, different entry points for each group. When you look at, say, the parks, even buying tickets, you can buy a single park ticket and just go visit that one park. You can buy a park hopper ticket, or if you're like us, you can fall in love and immediately buy an annual pass. But then look at the rides. So there's three different ways that you can ride a ride in Disney World. And I don't think that this is something that people necessarily think about, but you can just go walk up and stand in the standby line, just like everybody else. It's absolutely free. You can purchase Genie Plus or an individual Lightning Lane and go through the Lightning Lane and bypass that, right? So there's your middle option. Or you could ball out and you can buy a VIP tour, low, medium, and high.
Yeah. So three is that magic number.
Three is the magic number.
Well, and it was kind of wild when you had kind of like mentioned it to me of this whole, like this idea of that low, middle, high. And you really can put it to anything that Disney sells, there's like a low, medium, high option.
Right.
And that's where I started thinking more of that Star Wars experience. I know you're thinking more specifically Star Cruiser, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking more that immersive Star Wars experience.
Okay.
Where in my head, I'm thinking Batuu, Galaxy's Edge, is that low. Like it's the price of admission. You get in there and the cast members are the main immersive point of contact. Right. You know, yes, you see some characters, but you don't get too far into there. And then Star Cruiser is really that over the top. You get this two-night, three-day experience where you're in the story. Mm-hmm. You're a character in the story. But there isn't that middle ground.
Yes. And so from my perspective, you could probably low, medium, and high Galaxy's Edge. And then you could low, medium, and high Star Cruiser. But I get your point in that we can't be picky. We've got a lot of Star Wars in the Disney parks right now. So I think we can focus just on...
Well, what would you say is the low, medium, high of Galaxy's Edge?
Of right Galaxy's now? Edge? Of Galaxy's Edge, the low is just going. It's the price of admission in Hollywood Studios and you just go. I think for a medium, that's probably doing the Lightning Lanes for the rides, doing the Droid Depot, Savi's Workshop, like really getting immersed and probably bounding and dressing up. But I don't think there's a high option.
Okay. So we'll leave that as an open...
That's a slot okay to be filled.
And now...
Star Cruiser, you got one thing. It's and it's high. It's all the way high because of the price point.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's what holds a lot of holds a lot of people back from experiencing Star Cruiser is the price point. It's expensive.
Yeah.
We get that. It's getting less expensive now that they're offering more discounts to more groups of people. We've got annual pass holders, DVC members, Disney Visa card holders, whether it's a debit or a credit card, which I learned. So we are now Disney Visa debit card members and cast members. I think eventually they'll offer a broad offer so that you don't have to have any of those affiliations to experience Star Cruiser, and it will lower the price. But even with a 30% discount, it's hefty.
Yeah.
And it's the same experience, right? So what one of the things we were talking about is how do you get people like a sneak peek of what Star Cruiser is like, whether from strictly a hotel perspective or from an experience perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's okay. We could look at it from your point of view of a low, medium, high of specifically Star Cruiser. And that's going to be my mindset kind of going forward.
Okay.
If you look at it as a quote hotel, the one thing that you don't have is just being able to go and see the atrium.
Right.
Like if you were going to any of the Disney parks, you could go there and, you know, go to the concierge, go to the lobby and just see it.
Right.
You know, you don't get to see any rooms. You don't get to, you know, participate in any of the stuff that's in there.
The pools and the amenities. But yeah, you could go drink at the bar. You can make reservations at the restaurants if you want to. You can just look.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is like there's not a way for people to just look at what Star Cruiser has to offer.
Right.
It's
locked down.
Yeah.
Because if you try to, there's security. And so if you try to drive up, they check that you're supposed to be there. And if you're not, they make you turn around and leave. If you get there too early for your voyage, they make you turn around and leave and come back. So there's just no way. That's the one entrance. The other entrance is Batuu on your excursion.
Yeah.
But it's not like Polynesian where you can take the monorail and just get off and walk right in the door.
Yeah.
So
and I think that's the thing too, is like now with them changing to two voyages a week.
Right. Starting in October.
I mean, I think that's just kind of the mindset, you know, going is there's going to be less opportunities for people to just go see. Cause I'm thinking that time that they're not having people there, they're not having staffing there. It's very minimal staffing.
Right.
So that's what you're saving on, right?
Yeah.
That is the cost savings that they're trying to do by minimizing to two trips crew.
Right.
So you're not going to have where people could come in on those days because then you're going to still run into the issue of needing crew there.
Well, and it would be even worse because if you're having to fully staff hotel and then people aren't staying there to stay the night, they're not paying that price point, and they're just maybe saying to come and drink drinks in the satellite lounge or go visit the gift shop.
Yeah.
They're not spending anywhere near as much money as the people that were staying on a voyage.
Yeah.
So they're not going to open it up for something like that. Now, I think they could do something, and I don't exactly know what it looks like, but I think on those, let's call them dark days, when they're not running a voyage, I think they could do some things where they significantly lower the amount of staff that's there. They rope off or close off certain areas of the ship so that they don't have to worry about people going and exploring and dirtying things up and like just getting into spaces they shouldn't, but still going in and spending money in a way that makes it worth it to staff it at least to a minimum.
What would you say that would be? Would that be the low option of Star Cruiser or the medium? Because I think this is the part where Disney kind of put themselves in a corner with Star Cruiser, is and with that mindset that you're thinking. And, mm-hmm. and this is where I don't think it's a fair way to look at it, because they don't have a low, medium, high of the poly, low, medium, high of Grand Flow.
No.
You know what I mean? So I think if you're going to consider just being able to visit as the low, you being able to eat and drink at their you know, respective bars and restaurants as the medium and then being and staying there as the high, then okay. But I don't think it's fair that you're saying low, medium, high on Star Cruiser, where it's like you'd be able to experience this, this, and this as they're low. Okay, well, now what's your medium? Like, you're setting that bar even higher, and you got to think of it from Disney's side, is they've got to, they're trying to save as much cost as they can with keeping that, keeping the integrity of that experience.
Yes. And I am 100% all for that. Whenever I see people say like, just turn it into a hotel, like don't have it as Voyages all the time. And on the dark days, just have it as a regular hotel that people can come visit. And I don't like that. Honestly, like I really don't like that. I love Star Cruiser for what it is as it stands right now with the two-night voyage, the immersive story. You get to go off and do your own missions, but there's still this overarching story that happens. I think it is beautiful. I think it is close to perfection. And I don't want that touched. But I do want other people to be able to experience this. And so I'm trying to figure out ways that that can happen.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I was looking at it more as, what's the appeal of Star Cruiser? And it's that experience, that immersive experience.
It's the immersive experience. And that's
kind of what we got with Galaxy's Edge. And I think that's where it's more of the low, medium, high. Because just going to Galaxy's Edge, you get to feel in Star Wars. You don't have to dress up. You're there, right?
Right. You've got the sounds. You have the spires. You've got the Millennium Falcon sitting there. You can drink the blue milk. Like, you feel like you're in it.
And then Star Cruiser is that ultimate experience.
Where it takes you from feeling like a fly on the wall to a person in the room.
Now, again, from the ideas that we've heard, and even the one that I kind of just, you know, blurted out in our last episode of like what would make Star Cruiser better. And I think that was kind of like the catalyst for us thinking like, man, it really is what people are trying to, like, we're trying to find a way to get more people on Star Cruiser, get that taste of Star Cruiser.
Right.
And if you weren't here last episode, my idea was having a Bippity Boppity,
boutique,
yeah, but Star Wars, you know,
right.
And they have the makeup artist, that, you know, the makeup, what is it called?
Image design,
yep, on Star Cruiser now, that is probably not as utilized as it is, you know, as a Bippity Boppity.
Right. So Bippity Boppity Boutique, if people don't know, which you should, is just a little like salon boutique where little girls and boys can get made over either as a princess or a pirate. And they do like hair. Like if you ever see like the little girls in the parks that have like the super tight hair with the bun and the glitter all over, they've gone to Bippity Boppity. But like you said, on Star Cruiser, they have image design where they'll do face paint, and they can do either full face paint or they can do Batu approved face paint, which is like 50% of your face or less is painted, because that's kind of the costuming rules, that you cannot have more than 50% of your face covered by any means.
But imagine you have to book it through, you know, a park day, right?
Right.
But from Galaxy's Edge, you book an appointment. You and your family, whoever's going, gets to go onto Star Cruiser, go on the Halcyon, and they convert one of the rooms into like a studio of sorts. You go get done up, and like maybe that somehow they take you just kind of a walk through. So you get to just see the atrium. You don't That'd get to cool. participate, but you're seeing it. They put you back on Batu, and you spend the rest of your day, you know, with your
dressed up,
with your dressed up makeup. But I think that would be more of a middle option.
It would. And I think,
I think that's where the droid, you know, building a droid, building a lightsaber, that is kind of that middle option, because now you're
investing a little bit more.
Yeah.
You're diving a little deeper.
There's a little bit story, you know, right, when the gatherers, you bring you in there and do this whole, that is kind of that middle ground, but we want more options because, you know, Dano has gone several times. But other people probably don't want to build a lightsaber again, but they want to experience more storytelling like that.
Right.
You know, more participation in
what's
that way.
Behind the closed doors of Batu, right? Yeah. Or what's on the Star Cruiser when they're not celebrating their 275th voyage? I like your Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. We need to come up with a fun name for it, because Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is not it for Star Cruiser. But imagine getting, you book this package, and I can't even comprehend what the pricing would be, because Bibbidi Bobbidi is, it starts at like $200, but I think, or $100. Anyway, you get your face painted. Maybe they even have like part of the Shangri-La collection gift shop open where you can buy clothes, or like they have some of the clothes you can buy at Doc Ondar's over there. So you go, because that's what Bibbidi Bobbidi is. You get your hair and makeup done and you can buy a dress.
Yeah.
And then they'll take pictures of you. So imagine they also have a memory maker photographer there taking pictures of you in the atrium with your face paint and your new robes or whatever it is you decide to wear. That's not a bad idea.
I think the thing is like, it doesn't have to be just kids, right? You know, the young people.
Oh, it could be older adults.
Yeah, it could be older people. Yeah. But that way you get to see, you get that taste of the Halcyon. And really just like, oh, like I really want to show up here.
And like the crew members are just telling stories of Captain Keevan or.
Well, I mean, again, it's the normal day of Stark. So you may not talk to anybody. You're just dealing with your concierge or whoever, you know, you're the person that's guiding you. Your liaison or whatever.
Right. But just drop little hints about like the storyline of Star Cruiser. Cause you know, like when you go to Ogre's Cantina.
I think it's just you're. They treat you as if you were in that world. So you have an appointment. They're doing your hair, you know, makeup or hair, or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're sending you on your way. Like, okay. So you're not, your curiosity is sparked by just seeing things. Now you're probably going to be asking stuff.
Right.
So the character, the crew is going to be giving little hints, but you know, maybe, oh yeah, the Halcyon's celebrating its 275th. Or, you know, yeah, you should come type of thing.
Right.
So, you know, selling more.
Right. That's what I mean. Like when you go to Oga's Cantina and you talk to the bartenders and they're all like indebted to Oga and that's why they're working there. Like those types of little, like it might not necessarily dive super deep into any stories, but just like little like, oh, there's more here that I don't know quite. I don't really know what's going on, but I'm catching that there's more to this story.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I think that's something that it could be built into whatever time that Star Cruiser is running. Mm-hmm. So again, with that constraint that's coming of the, you know, it's only running for half the week, that could be something that they could still continue to run.
It could. Now, if we wanted to go the complete opposite and go with like a really high, like say Star Cruiser is the medium and you go a really high option, one of the pieces of feedback that we got of what they would change is to be able to visit Batu at night. Or to make it like a 3-night experience where you spend one full day on Batu. It's problematic.
I think that's where it's if they start looking at different options, different quote storylines.
Right.
Is that they have a 2-night, which is the 275th. Then there's a 3-night where maybe you get like a full day at Batu. A full morning and full evening.
Yeah.
And then that way it's Star Cruiser still, you're still almost having just two days there.
Yeah.
But it has a different storyline. And it opens them up to be able to be more flexible on. Now, this is where I'm thinking more narrow-minded from the guest side, because then you have actors having to learn two plays,
right?
You know, two-day, three-day experiences.
I mean, you could even throw a one night in there too, and then it's three different stories happening.
And that's where it would be so taxing on cast and crew.
And that's it is already, right?
Yeah,
they're having.
Well, but I mean, that's taxing enough of just memorizing. You know, them going through the same. You know. Play one, you know, twice
over
a week.
And over, yeah.
But then to start throwing in these like, wait a minute, this was a one night. Am I supposed to be doing this? You know,
maybe they have the lights a different color depending on what type of voyage it is.
So
some kind of visual.
I think that's where like it would be nice.
It would be fantastic. But
I think it does run into you're going to have different cast and crew. You're going to have that because
yeah,
if you're trying to run them at the same time.
Problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we leave Star Cruiser as it is, as the high. But the other thing that you were talking about was enhancing Galaxy's Edge to be that middle of the Star Wars experience yeah. in the Disney parks, right?
And this is where, you know, one of, you know, listener of the show, watcher of the show,
our Mars, good friend yeah, Mars good, from that corner in Coruscant.
Yeah, he had put together this this whole just like, idea bucket of like, well, what about this? What about this? A VIP tour where you're guided through. And it was one of those things that we started kind of thinking and like, there was just so many ideas there.
Yeah.
And it's very much a, you know, oh yeah, I would love that. But the business side of me immediately is like, ooh, that's going to be expensive. Ooh, the timing of that is not going to work. Yeah. It's going to be very like contingent on making sure that people get here.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that you always have to think about, or Disney always thinks about, is the being accessible to all.
Right.
And making sure that someone that doesn't know Star Wars enjoys the experience, and someone that is a Star Wars obsessed loves the experience. Right. And it's a very, very, very big range, and they have to make sure that it works. So, you know, we could always think, oh yeah, we don't even have to get into backstory. We just go straight into it for us. But someone that's never been, and we don't want to, you know, single them out and make them feel like they're not wanted.
Right.
You have to make that where it's, you know, that person could feel appreciated and involved in that story, regardless of their experience with Star Wars. And, but like one of his ideas was, you know, having pretty much a VIP tour where it hit certain story points throughout Galaxy's Edge and maybe hits Halcyon.
Right.
And I think that was like one of the biggest thing for me was more of that's so involved with timing. And especially if you are going to be consuming the time of characters, because if you're running that tour pretty consistently on the hour.
Yeah.
Kylo, any of these characters that are typically just free range, they just, right. they're running around.
Free range characters.
But they're around, so people just run into them. Now you're taking away some of their time.
Right. Because at least on Star Cruiser, everybody paid the same amount of money-ish to be there, right?
Yeah.
With Galaxy's Edge, if you have some people that are just park goers and then some people that paid for this VIP experience, something could happen that could prevent the people that paid extra from getting that.
Yeah.
And I think the other piece of it too is the cost. I don't know if people know how much VIP tours are, but they're not cheap. That's a Star Cruiser voyage in 7 hours.
Yeah.
So like
it can, and they have minimums, right? If you're going to have a guided tour,
it's 7 hours. And that price range is anywhere from $450 to $900 an hour. And you can have up to 10 people. So say you're doing 7 hours at $900. That's a Star Cruiser.
Yeah.
And that's for 7 hours. So you'd have to figure out a way to do it, because I love the idea of it, that you're diving even deeper into the story of Galaxy's Edge. And if you can like weave it into what's going on with the Halcyon, I just don't know how you do that in a way that is the true middle.
Yeah. So I think the thing is like they're that yearning is more of having that Star Cruiser immersive experience, that kind of I'm living that life on Galaxy's Edge. I think that was more what the direction that, you know, I'm interpreting is what they're wanting.
Right.
Is how do I get Star Cruiser, that immersive, and I'm from Coruscant, I'm from Corellia, I'm from Tatooine, wherever, get that on Batuu. And the thing is, and again, this is where I talk about that range. You remember when we first, you know, Galaxy's Edge first started open, it was Bright Suns, you know, what is money? You know, we use credits here, and they questioned a lot. And it was because the participation was, you know, both ways. Everybody was excited about it. But you get more and more of just regular customer, you know, Disney customers. And I don't understand that. You know, what is Bantha Beef? You know, what is Tip Yip?
Right.
I need Tip Yip chicken because I don't understand that.
Right.
Because they don't want to be a part of it. So it's like, how do you have a more immersive experience on Galaxy's Edge, similar to a Star Cruiser, without that Star Cruiser prize? And I think that's more of that middle of a taste of Star Cruiser and a little bit more than Galaxy's Edge, that middle ground.
Yeah.
One of the other things, the temple,
the trials of the Jedi temple,
they need to have something like that again.
And do it in Batuu.
Do it in Batuu. Like, that is what they need.
Like, put that in the resistance area. Like, literally just lift and shift where it is over by Star Tours and put it, like, right by the entrance.
I think they can't straight lift and shift it because it is not part of the story. So they have to figure out how to do something like that, but in Batuu.
But I think they could, yeah. Right? We could have more entertainment, more shows. We're getting more characters, which is not within the timeline, but that's okay. But that's the way you do it. Disney needs to bring more to the table to plus up Galaxy's Edge. And they're doing that when you look at like the Batuu bounty hunt, right? That's something that if you're going around and you're doing the Batuu bounty hunt and you've got your Magic Band Plus and you're walking around and you start beeping all of a sudden, there's going to be somebody standing right there that's like, did you do that? What are you doing? How did you do that? And then you sit there and you explain to them.
I don't know if it's more of a thing that Disney needs to bring necessarily more to the table, but it's just finding that better ground. Because like you said, the bounty hunting, like it was brought out. People that are in the know were excited about it and participated in it, and that was it, right?
Right.
Then maybe, you know, that same strategy of having us, you know, publicize it, market it, it's not always the best option for Disney. And I think that's what they need to realize is like, maybe you need to do some events around the bounty hunting. I complain that there's that, you know, West gets a lot of these events, you know, lightsaber meetups. And again, these are kind of put on by the community and Disney allows it, but you need to do that, right? You need to say, hey, we're going to have, you know, you're the best droids out, yeah. You know, everybody show up, because then again, you're building a community, you know, yes, the community is there, but now you're showing that we accept, you know, you're accepting of that community.
Right.
And people could, you know, show up and bring their droids and have, you know, the just different signage around, you know, the marketplace. Like, oh, here's new droid parts. And, you know, again, just different signage. Right. Just to make it themed where it's like different. You know, Live Day, they just had more merch. I think that's where they could make that effort. It's like, you don't have to do too much, but you're doing enough where it's different enough that people that are constantly going feel that you're still paying attention to us, and people that are new to it and kind of want, you know, seeing from the side, like, oh, okay, that's something new, that's something I, you know, I might look into more.
Right. And we get it. We've talked about this before with Batuu East versus West and just Disneyland versus Disney World in general. Disneyland is much more of a locals park, and so they're constantly refreshing food and merch options to get those locals to go to the park. Versus Disney World, which is more of a tourist location. And so if somebody's going to spend a lot of money going to a Disney park, they're going to the one with four parks instead of the one with two parks. Yeah. So they need that consistency for the people that don't go as often. But there's a ton of Orlando locals. There's us that we go more often than ever,
And that's the thing is like, okay, yeah, it's the merch thing. You know, there's that gripe of it.
Right.
But give us something more to want to go.
Right.
You know, just an event. If you just, you know, saying it's an event of some sort, you know, it's, you know, 90s night, people are going to go, but you're not making those events for, you know, Galaxy's Edge or anything like that.
Well, think about when we went to Celebration Anaheim last year. They had Star Wars night, and it was all of Disneyland Park was open for Star Wars night, and they had character meet and greets, and they had photo ops, and they had different things around the whole park. But what if they did ticketed events specifically for Batu?
Yeah.
Why can't we do things like that?
And that's what I'm saying. Is like it just needs to be, there's more love needs to go there.
Right.
I don't think it needs to be more resources necessarily, but just more love, like thinking outside the box, because you're in this immersive world. You know, the events are based around Oga. It's Oga's birthday, you know.
Yeah.
Have a little, you know, some kind of signage so that people can like, oh, what is this like weird thing going on?
Right. Just, you know, little bits here and there so that the people that really do want to interact with it and do want to kind of plus up Galaxy's Edge can do that. But imagine doing a ticketed event and you have Gaia, a meet and greet with Gaia.
Well, yes, that would be cool for people that have been to Star Cruiser that know. People that don't, they're not going to be too happy that they're paying money for this character of Star Wars that they don't know.
That they don't know. But if you also have, like, you know, Kylo out there doing meet and greets and Rey and Chewie and, you know, whoever else, you can do that, but then also have Gaia off to the side.
I think that's it. That's a harder, because then you start to break that immersion.
In what way?
That you're having this meet and greet.
Oh, I mean, like, if it's a ticketed event, kind of like a Star Wars night. And maybe doing it inside of Batu is like,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's easy to start sliding into it being a Disney. You're going to Disney.
Yeah.
You're not going to Batu. And that, again, my mindset is you're going to Batu. You want this more immersive experience. That is my gauge of, you know, small, medium, large. Because if you do a ticketed event, then, and you have a meet and greet, you're completely destroying that. You're taking away immersion, and you're just saying, "Hey, here's a meet and greet." Which again, some people will love, some people may not, but it's going to be something that you're going a whole different route.
Well, maybe instead, this is what the middle ground looks like. I think we're getting closer to it. We have a ticketed event specifically for Batu. Super limited amount of tickets purchased, right? And Batu is the only part of Hollywood Studios that's open. When we did Galactic Nights a long time ago, they gave us a lanyard when we walked in, and we had to go to all of the different, like, what, 7 photo ops and collect these stickers. And then by the end of the night, there was this big collective group thing. There were some black lights, and May the Force Be With You showed up on these stickers that we had collected. We had no idea. We were like, mind blown. Imagine going around and collecting pieces throughout Batu that somehow, when it all fits together, it's like a holocron or something.
Again, it's an awesome idea. But you would have, if you're closing off the rest of the park, and again, this is like, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but to have only one section of the park open, how many ticket sales would you have to make to equal out?
Oh, I agree.
So
financially, I don't know how this works.
And that's, again, I'm trying to like be that middle ground of the guests and Disney.
Right.
Like, how much can they give to make you a little bit more?
Right.
But, you know, that'd be an incredible idea. Incredible. But I think that would be, it would have to be open, the whole Hollywood Studios, and it would be just a Galactic Night, Star Wars Night type of thing where you're going to, because that way they sell enough, you know, for that private, you know, night to recoup anything that they're and it's going to be open to the whole, you know, whole park.
Yeah.
Now, if it's like, again, the 3-night type of thing from Star Cruiser that they decide to do some extra night where you come on after, so they just bring the Star Cruiser crew or out
to
guests.
Batu. Like, to if Batu. You're staying on Star Cruiser, you get like a special night where you get to go on Batu to yourself.
That could be something, but again, that's when you have to worry about people starting to wander, and they ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. No, they do a pretty good job though when they have the parties or the after hours that, like, if you don't have the wristband or whatever, hey, you need to go this way now. But there's something there. We've thrown out tons of ideas. Yeah. I don't know exactly what that middle ground Star Wars experience is. And we have some of it, right? we can dress up when we go to the parks. We can go build a lightsaber, a droid. We can touch, you know, seek out the characters. We can do these things now.
And I think that's what the guests have kind of taken upon themselves to get really, really know how they can get dressed, you know, how far they can go, getting to know the characters and almost as if they were Batuu regulars.
Yeah.
You know, knowing the different, you know, the nuances of the marketplace and, okay, we're going to get something new at, you know, Droid Depot. So be prepared for that. And we're going to have meetups, you know, the community meetups, you know, lightsaber meetups and stuff like that. I think that has become more of that middle, but it would have been nice if Disney gave that effort towards that middle.
Yeah.
Of making more stories for those middle ground people.
Yeah. Especially for East.
No, I'm thinking just more of the sustainability of Galaxy's Edge, because I really think that is the heart of it, is how immersive it is.
Yeah.
Because again, like you think of like the hotel rooms, a lot of the hotels right now, the resorts are getting converted into these more modern feels. The people that are, yes, they love it because it's clean, it's this, it's that, right. You know, it's modern.
Right.
But that charm, that Disney charm is getting lost, some feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is like with Star Cruiser, that appeal is that experience. With Batuu, it's that immersive experience. Like you feel you're part of that universe.
Right.
And if you start to lose that, it becomes something completely different. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be bad, but it's not going to be that initial experience that we know and love.
Right.
Now, I think just getting more into it would be ideal, but taking away from it would not be as pleasant.
I just want to be able to pop on to the Halcyon. Anytime I'm at Batuu, just pop onto the Halcyon, fill up my own blue milk, and then just pop out. That's all I want. And just smell it.
I
just want to smell it. And then
I am making the most straight, leveled mouth, because, again.
I know. You can't do that.
It's not just you.
I know.
It'd be the millions of people that visit Star Cruise or visit Hollywood Studios are going to say, I just want to pop in and do this.
It's my dream. I just want to go smell it. Just go smell the atrium. I don't even need blue milk. I'm just like, okay, I'm good.
So I think that's the issue. I think that's the thing, is like, you have to think in the scale that Disney actually works at.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I try to
allowing a transport for me to go smell the Star Cruiser whenever I want. That's absolutely not sustainable.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it would be nice. But yes, I think there's lots of things that we could do, that Disney could do, to kind of meet in the middle. Galaxy's Edge on its own really is an immersive experience. You go around, you feel like you're in Star Wars. You get on Star Cruiser, you are Star Wars. We're already spoiled as it is with both of these experiences, but it would be wonderful to combine them in a way that more people can experience it, and maybe more frequently than somebody can experience, say, a Star Cruiser.
The wild thing to think is, before we weren't getting any Star Wars. It was very far and few between, and you didn't know the next person over if they liked Star Wars. Like I was a loner, right? I didn't know who liked Star Wars. I had to like it.
I didn't even know you liked Star Wars till like 5 years ago.
You know, in my room by myself type of thing.
Yeah.
And because it's been so accessible now with having the different shows, different movies and stuff like that, having a park to go play at, having this, you know, immersive hotel.
Playset.
That lets you live that childhood dream, you know, us thinking, oh, we need more, is kind of,
we're, you know, spoiled.
Selfish. Yeah, it's spoiled, right? I mean, yeah. And that's something that always kind of like, yes, we're always going to want more. We're always going to want more. But I think that's something to think about too, is like, yeah, yes, we want it. We want it. We want this. We want that. But at the same time, hey, like, let's be grateful for what we have.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, can you, I can't, little us could never imagine.
No. I mean, you know, there was many times I had the wrapping paper tubes, you know, painted them red or blue or green. And now, you know, you could just go pick one up at a...
You can see an actual, like, retracting yeah. lightsaber in real life.
Yeah. It's, so, it's wild.
What a world. So I think that's a good place to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. And if you were listening to this episode and you're either, like, yelling at us in agreement or disagreement on our ideas, maybe you have your own ideas on how to plus up Galaxy's Edge or maybe make Star Cruiser more affordable, more accessible to people. Let us know in the comments on YouTube or over on Instagram.
And speaking of Star Cruiser, we're going on the May 4th voyage. So make sure to check out our Instagram stories, and we're definitely going to be talking about it when we get back. So stay tuned.
Until next time.